You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All that, by the way.
We do have that, thank God.
Where did we have balloons. Balloons
we have a cake.
Are from, I think, the radio station. I think everything, it's all from the radio station.
I think it's Brad.
Balloons, it's Brad. Thank you, Brad. And we got a cake that says, thank you, Jeff Calkins, and both names spelled correctly.
But that's
there's
big.
An upset from everyone. I don't think they mean everyone at 92.9.
I don't think they mean everyone.
But from most people, I'm just going to cross this out and say from most people at 92.9. So
I would just like to, as I sign, this is our last.
This is it.
I just, from the bottom of my heart, want to thank you. I want to thank you for taking a chance and believing in a, 21-year-old kid from Memphis, from public school education and at White Station and University of Memphis. And just taking me along for the ride, man, every step of the way. It's been the honor and privilege of my life to work with you as much as I have. And I'm going to miss that, but I'm still going to call you and complain 5 times a day.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Man.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Congrats.
There's going to be no more tears here. We got hardened professionals coming up next. Chris Harrington and Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Friday. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Thank you for having me on every day for some reason. It's a sort of a commentary or a judgment a little bit, but like here I am.
It is. Well, we were just talking about it because I was for some reason under the impression that you'd been even long. Like I couldn't remember when you didn't. Weren't here every day.
I can't remember last week.
And then so, John corrected me, and I said, well, okay, maybe it was when John left, and then Jeffrey started, because the notion of it was when Vernon left.
Yeah, because I was doing Vernon's show. We talked about this. I was doing an hour segment once a week, a full hour once a week, and then he left to go to Grand City Media, and I was a free agent, and you asked if I would come on your
pop
show.
On that.
Yep.
So I don't know how many years ago that was, but every day, straight up 10 o'clock, which was never, by the way, straight up 10 o'clock.
Oh, no, very much not.
Never straight up.
And occasionally it would be on time, and those would be the days I was driving. I was 3 minutes late. I'm like,
what the hell?
I was planning to be here at 10:03.
Right. Often it would be 10:10, straight up at 10 o'clock.
10:07.
It would be 10:10, 10:07. Did you start the... I mean, one of the true highlights of this has been the music every day. Did that start?
When I started doing the show was when I was doing the 901 column at the CA. So I was writing that column every day, and one of my bits on that column, which other people have since copied after the fact, my bit, I didn't call it the final shot. I called it something.
Right.
The fade out. I called it the fade out. So at the end of every day, 901 column, I did a thing called the fade out where I played a song of the day, like a YouTube clip, and I had a few sentences explaining why this is the song of the day. And so initially, my lead-in song for the show was the fade out from the 901.
Oh.
And then I stopped doing the 901, and we continued doing the song of the day.
So how much... Do you think of it 3 minutes before or half an hour before?
It varies wildly. Some days, like, there's something topical and it's in my head. I may think of it the day before. And there are some days where it's like, oh, I got to do the radio show. Like, you know, who just died?
Did you just Google who died? Is that what happens there?
There is a site that is like, you know, music birthdays and history. On days where there's nothing topical related to the news or the Grizzlies or whatever, that has been one of my crutches. Like, who died on this day in whatever year?
We get the occasional who died.
Yeah.
But so for me, I mean, those songs have been fabulous. You're obviously terrific on the Grizzlies, the insight that you have on the Grizzlies. And it's true that sometimes we cannibalize your writing, but go read them at the Daily Memphian. But then I will say, like, I'm always struck. I'll ask you, X musician, tell me about them. There's no preparation whatsoever. I don't tell you what we're gonna ask about, and so the education that I've gotten and forgotten on Memphis music from you has been terrific too.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate it, and I know there's lots of people out there who tune in purely for this segment. And so
it takes a village.
It takes a village. Yeah.
Shout out to the sickos.
Would never,
AKA my people.
So there you go. So, your people. And you can hear Chris with Drew over at the Daily Memphian, basically a weekly podcast, wherever you find your podcasts. And then you just told me you're going to be on with Jeffrey and Cerrito on Mondays.
Is this public? I'm not sure when we're going to start that because I'll be traveling and then there's MLK Day, but I don't know. It's up in the air. Maybe Jeffrey knows.
You just gave the exact same answer that Kevin and I had yesterday, which is we're trying to be very, very cognizant of Chris's time, but
right. I never up straight at 10 o'clock. I just like...
If he's just driving on Monday, you know, instead of listen to podcast, do your own.
Yeah, if you don't mind the bad audio on Monday when I'm in the car, it might be next week.
Listen, it's no worse than the audio that's going to be coming out of my microphone.
I should also thank your family, which has had to endure sometimes you driving along on road trips.
Yeah,
talking on... Do they roll their eyes? Do they... Dad's got to do radio?
Well, I mean, they always roll their eyes. Radio or not, I'm
family's
used to that.
Family's meant to roll your eyes.
Right.
Exactly. Well, I really do appreciate your willingness to do it all this time.
I will say my daughter, we were in the car coming back from the Dakotas, and I was doing... Actually, no, I'm wrong. This was not... I wasn't doing this type because I was on vacation. You were doing it with Drew, and you were asking Drew about hiking, and my kids were laughing because you were acting like hiking was like this arcane thing that had to be described to people. Hiking, which I guess means walking through the woods. My kids look at each other like, what is this guy talking about? People know what hiking is.
Yes. No, but that stems from a particular conversation with Gary Parrish.
Right. Where he did not understand the concept. Right.
I was going to ask him today before he was pulled over. I mean, one of the things I had on my list. When I last talked to him on the radio, he had never hiked.
Right.
And so we had to define what hiking is.
He has hiked from the couch to the refrigerator.
He has literally never, and I think hiking is like, I don't think walking around the lake at Shelby Farms is a hike, right?
Yeah.
But if you go to Shelby Forest and go, so I was defining hiking. Drew. Maybe I just assumed, I certainly know what hiking is, but I don't, no longer assume that everybody does.
My kids were confused.
They were. You could do some hiking with the kids.
Occasionally.
Grizzlies play tonight, by the way.
They do.
In honor of my, it's so really touching, everyone is sitting out.
That's right.
Oklahoma City is in on this as well.
Hey, they want to give the Grizzlies just a bare shot to go out with the win on the final day of the Jeff Calkins show.
So Shea is out. Chet Holmgren's out.
Hassan Wallace is out. Isaiah Hartenstein
is out. Alex Caruso is out.
No, Caruso's questionable.
Oh, is that true?
Unless that's
He's questionable?
Yesterday he was questionable.
Was Jalen Williams?
Yeah, but the bad Jalen Williams is out.
The good Jalen is playing. This could be a big night for the good Jalen Williams.
That's right.
And then, of course, then they have Sorber and Topic.
Those guys have literally never played an NBA
game. Out from the jump.
Cedric Howard might be back, though.
So Cedric's questionable.
It was an interesting injury list for the Grizzlies yesterday. There was a lot of content on the injured list.
Well, what struck you as interesting?
Well, Cedric Howard, upgraded questionable, faster than I thought.
Yeah.
Vince Williams back, at least on questionable. I assume him not playing that game was just a back-to-back thing. That's good. John Conjar, out of the blue, upgraded to doubtful. I didn't see that coming at all.
Surgery.
And then Ja, you know, after being questionable for three games with a calf contusion, is now just flat out. And, like, you got to be careful sitting on the bench because contusions can get worse if you just sit, apparently. Who knew that, like, contusions get worse when you're sitting?
Yeah. Yeah. So no Ja. Yeah. And we talked about this yesterday, but I will ask you a few more questions about it. Do you think... The Europe trip.
Yeah.
The NBA, I would obviously want him to play in Europe, right?
Yeah, but there's been other made-for-TV events over with the Grizzlies, and Ja Morant has not been there, so I don't know. I got no idea.
I'm going to dip back into this again.
Okay.
Is
I think you were going to ask me the questions I heard you asking John coming in.
Well, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll ask you those, too.
I'll let you lead up to it.
Then. But on the Ja... On the jaw thing,
yeah,
is the fact that he has longer on his deal than Trae Young did, does that work in terms, if the Grizzlies did decide to move off of him, does that work in their favor, or does it work in the opposite direction?
I mean, it's subject to interpretation, but I have to think if you're a team, if you were a team in this theoretical, entirely theoretical construct, if you were a team trading for John Morant, it's because you're kind of interested in having John Morant. You're not trading for John Morant as a expiring contract. You're taking on a contract of a player you hoping will be better for you. And so I would think that would be helpful. Maybe not. The real question is not that. It's the how much pressure is there, and this goes for Trae Young too, how much pressure is there on the team trading for the player to give the player an extension rather than let's wait and see on this, right? That's, to me, more the issue.
Is it also, though, Trae Young could have some pressure on the Hawks because at the end of the year he could just walk.
Right.
In other words, it decreased the Hawks' leverage, the fact that he was
right.
Could this increase, if the Grizzlies decide to get tired, the theoretical, whatever, could this increase the leverage that the Grizzlies have?
Yes.
Because they don't have to deal.
In fact, there's no indication they're looking to deal him, publicly at least. John Morant has 2 years on his contract after this one. I've said this many times. I'll keep saying it. It's worth repeating. There's an underlying construct to this. There are primal forces of nature, to quote Ned Beatty and Network, at play that are more important than all the noise and the chatter and the comments. John Morant is extension eligible. John Morant at some point is either going to get an extension or it's going to be traded. And if one of those things doesn't happen, they're going to go into the last year of a contract with him and it's going to get messy and nobody wants that. And so at some point before you reach that last year, they would want to either extend him or trade him. If they weren't willing to extend him last summer, nothing has happened this season that would change their opinion on that. But there are multiple windows before you reach that last year. There's this trade deadline. There's next summer. There's even the trade deadline after next summer. And there's even the beginning of the summer after that. So there are really four periods before you get to the danger zone. I don't think they want to go through all four of those periods, though.
Right.
They could go through this one.
All right, so I want to ask you if Penny Hardaway will be the head coach of this time next year.
I got nothing for you on that.
Gary was pulled over before he could answer. Right. But, okay, is Ja going to be a Grizzly at this time next year?
I would say doubtful. I think there. It seems to me there's a – because I think they would they'll want to deal with this one area or the other, and I don't see a scenario where they're going to be comfortable doing an extension. So I would say I don't think so.
Yeah, it feels like it. It also just like – even this little sequence this week, right?
Yeah.
And who knows? He could be legit injured.
Oh, he is legit injured, but still.
Even this sequence this week. When was it that Zach Kleiman came out and issued the, we love Ja, we aren't trading him, whatever. Like, how long ago was that?
That was during last season. And when I sometimes say I don't care what people are saying in statements, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. I just don't, whatever.
But he did that for a reason.
He did.
It's a
performance. I'm more interested in trying to figure out what's true than, trying to honor the performance for its own sake. That was strictly performance.
I agree that. But it was performance for Ja and for, who was he performing?
The more important Zach Kleiman public statement is after the Desmond Bain, I think it was after the Desmond Bain trade, where he said, this is a really important season for Ja Morant.
Right.
You could interpret subtext of that, and I interpret the subtext, and I think, not to speak for Drew, but I think he has the same interpretation of the subtext. He didn't spell it out, but that was a reference to not giving him an extension and wanting to see something from him this season that would warrant the extension, and that is be a consistent all-star presence on the floor. And we're halfway through the season and nothing's changed on that.
Yeah, I was going to ask what has changed between last year when he's made that performative statement and now when it feels like if they're ready to move on, if they are, purely whatever. And what's changed is what you just said. This is an important year, and by way of evidence, this year does not suggest that he is a productive, constructive.
You're only halfway through. He's only played 5 minutes with Zach Edey. That's the painful part of it. You wanted to see, him and Zach Edey and Jaron and Coward, these people play together, and they haven't. It hasn't happened. And so if they get past the deadline and they don't do a deal, which I think is extremely possible, maybe Edey gets back healthy and maybe Coward gets back and maybe, suddenly, it looks different and you have a different attitude about it if you get to the summer.
Right.
That's possible.
It's funny. One of the things you've talked about before is what year you thought the Grizzlies, the core four Grizzlies, had their best shot at the title.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how fast this stuff can go.
Yep.
Right? And, I mean, you were a T-Wolves fan once upon a time, and the Marbury Garnett thing was supposed to be right.
That was going to be a golden era. Like, you know, that was going to be the next 15 years of Minnesota Timberwolves basketball, and it blew up very quickly.
Once upon a time, Jason Kidd and Jamal Mashburn and who was the other one? Jim Jackson, where they were going to be the future for
right.
This stuff is fleeting.
Yep.
Is there a reason it went south? What, I mean, there's many reasons it went south. Like, what's the...
Yeah, there's many reasons. The Ja stuff is in triplicate. There's the availability question, which is a durability thing. Partly durability thing, and maybe partly more than a durability thing. But there's the availability part. There's the performance part where, as his athleticism has sapped a little bit, he's still capable in individual moments of doing the same stuff, but sustaining it, there's no indication of that. As that is the decline, there's been no, you know, balancing increase in shooting and some of that stuff.
Right.
And then there's just the moodiness, just the constant. I mean, setting aside all the bigger off court stuff, which is in the past. If he gets traded, whether it's this trade deadline or next summer or whatever, it's not going to be because of that stuff. They got past all that.
Right.
It will be because of the day to day drip, drip, drip of, is he going to play? If he plays, is he going to be the good version of himself? Is he going to be pouty? It's all of that day-to-day stuff.
Okay, before I let you go, then I'll ask you the two more. Is Zach Kleiman, I think I have answers for these two, but is Zach Kleiman going to be the GM at this time next year, and is Tomas Isalo going to be the head coach?
Yes and yes, but more firmly on the first one. I'd be very, very surprised if Zach Kleiman is not the GM of this team next season, you know, or whatever his title is.
Or is any payroll or whatever. Yeah, he's I think.
I'm not in Robert Parra's head, but my sense of things is he's in no peril at all.
Okay.
And Isalo, I think it is, you know, they have made an investment in him, and they're going to want to give him time. It's their guy. They just hired him. They're going to give him time. And the reality is he has not had a full deck to play with. Ever.
Right.
Not a single game ever at any time.
He hasn't had two-thirds deck most of the time.
That's exactly right. Yeah. He hasn't had anywhere close to the tools to work with, and they're going to give him time.
Chris, I really appreciate it. Straight up at 10 o'clock for all these years, I appreciate it. And again, people can hear Chris over at the Daily Memphian podcast and on Mondays with Jeffrey and Company.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Friday when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award and a retired Mississippi River pushboat deckhand. He joins me now. Hi, Charles.
I just want people to know we've already been fighting about the segment on text, via text, so that they know that right up until the last...
We're scrapping.
Right up until the
we're
last
doing a little scrapping.
Segment.
Yeah,
we're doing a little scrapping over who's in charge. I want to say two things just to get started. First,
of course you do.
I don't think I'm going to cry on Mike John Martin. I was there at the beginning with John Martin. John Martin left me out of the narrative, thankfully, but... John had an offer to go be a reporter at a newspaper in Alabama.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah. And you sent him to me for counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, go to Jackson, learn how to learn something. And he just threw my advice in the garbage can. And here we are.
But he has taken your financial advice, and you are consistent with everyone. You tell everyone if they're giving out free money with their company's 401k, make sure you sign up for it.
It is amazing. I've given financial advice to him one-on-one over and over. He's got more money at whatever age he is, 32,
than I had
when I was at 42. God bless her. I gave a lot of financial advice to Jennifer Biggs. Which unfortunately she didn't get the chance to take full advantage of. Anyway, so I don't think I'm going to cry, and God help me, there is zero chance I'm going to be arrested because I'm sitting on my keyboard.
It's been quite the eventful last day, you know?
Yeah. And I got to say something else in appreciation. I've never loved the Rocket Man theme song for me, although I appreciate its relevance. It's not a song I particularly love. I never went looking for a better space song. I think Sam Hardiman always comes with a good song. I listen for Chris Harrington's song every single day.
It's tremendous.
Not the days I'm on. 5 days a week. I've always loved that Chris starts the show, starts his segment with a fresh song, relevant song. And you know what? Just finding the song takes Chris 5 or 10 minutes a day.
And so there's been there's out on over on Spotify somewhere, there is a someone has compiled a playlist of you can listen to all of them. They're right there on.
That's really. I'm gonna go track that
on Spotify.
Down.
By the way, didn't like Sam Hardiman's songs. Never loved Sam Hardiman. Loved his news and his wisdom. Didn't think songs were a strength, but we're a different generation.
Musical taste isn't always.
I don't like his football team either. I don't like his football team.
There have been 300 Fish on Friday segments.
Exactly.
Between Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I didn't count, but that's 6 years times 5 days a week.
Okay.
In the beginning, we did more than one a week.
Yeah.
I haven't missed that many. So
what's astonishing is that I started doing radio in 2004, and when did this start? 2020.
March 2020.
I was on the radio for 16 years without ever even once bringing you on the radio.
That is correct. My father, my brother, both two brothers.
I've had Steve has been on, Tim is on, Dad has been on,
Evan.
Mom has been on, but no, yeah, that's it. Not you.
My daughter Maya.
Your daughter was on. Peter was
famously.
On. Ben was on.
Ben yeah. was on. Your son Peter has been on.
He's been on regularly. Regular contributor.
My daughter, of course, had her own
She dropped an F bomb in her one appearance here.
She's the only member of the family with an actual broadcast license.
Yep.
And then dropped the F bomb. Exactly. But
over the 200 shows.
And it's unlikely.
Yeah.
I think you didn't put me on the radio because you heard my voice in your head so often.
No. It's because you know nothing about sports,
and
it's a sports talk show.
I did watch last night's game.
This is really embarrassing. You fell asleep.
I grew up in Miami, 40-yard line seats for the Miami Hurricanes. In my middle school, high school years, I was talking to my younger brother, Andrew, who went to Phoenix for the game. With another fan of the show, Mark Pulaski, we never had a moment, anything even close to this. We would go to Hurricanes games, 40-yard line seats, and there'd be seats empty around us. That's how little interested the city was in those days. I am the only person in America who had a stake in the game last night and was watching and fell asleep in the fourth quarter. You woke me up.
It was absolutely riveting. Okay, what do you want to say about the 300 shows? Did you have some observation about the 300 shows?
Well, I mean, the first observation is it's both a joy and a privilege and a completely insane oddity that I feel such a strong connection to the Memphis community, right? half my 19,000 Twitter followers live in Memphis only because they hear me on the radio, and I have great affection for Memphis. You didn't even have me on the radio show when I came and did a huge magazine story about Memphis being the center of the logistics world for Fast Company. That was so much fun. I think I stayed in your house at that to report that story. But it's so much fun to talk to a whole community of people far away from the people who read my books or my reporting at Fast Company or my reporting when I was a Washington Post reporter. I do want to say for people who end up in fishman withdrawal,
they can always read your books.
And you know what? My books sound like me. Here's a
secret. Is there audio of the books? You can get audio books, right? Can we get books on tape?
You can get audio books, but I'm not the one
reading.
You're
not the author.
They wouldn't let me. Oh. But I did read. People don't know this. Every sentence of every paragraph on every page has been read aloud. To you.
That's true.
To you. You've heard them.
Yeah, as we
read out loud. So they
anyway, buy the books. You can buy the books, people.
Hang on. The books sound like me.
Right.
They're also interesting and fun. Anyway, we've had some obsessions, like UFOs. Look how much information we've been able to provide people about UFOs. Huge amounts of information, segment after segment about UFOs, without actually telling them anything.
I think mostly it's been interest rates, Walmart. If I was to say what are the top three things, it's earnings reports, interest rates, and Walmart.
Well, the meaning of
those things,
earnings reports. What is Walmart? How Walmart did? How does that reflect what's happening in the economy.
In
America. McDonald's. We love talking about McDonald's, both the food and who's the McDonald's customer. And are they, that horrible word that you learned right here on the show, choiceful, choiceful. We talk a lot about tipping. You know, we talked a lot about tipping.
Talking a lot about tipping.
You know, some things have changed. There was no such thing as ChatGPT and artificial intelligence when the show started. And I think I'm going to move my advice segment forward. If I were you, whether you're listening to the show and you're 22 or you're 37 or you're 58, I would find a way to start using artificial intelligence, to start playing around with artificial intelligence. Do not be surprised from behind when artificial intelligence comes in and starts sucking away people and work. Learn to use it. There's a skill to using artificial intelligence, just like there's a skill to using PowerPoint and a skill to using Excel spreadsheets and a skill to being a good web searcher and a skill to writing. And you need to learn the skill because artificial intelligence, this is the least amount of the economy that artificial intelligence will be right now. A year from now and 5 years from now, artificial intelligence will have taken over whole swatches of the economy. And just like when you check out of a grocery store or a restaurant now, they assume you're going to pay with a card. 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. Pay attention to artificial intelligence because no matter what you do, if you're a roofer or you're a white-collar person, it's going to change your life. I would pay attention.
All right. I want to, before we do anything else here, there's actual
news?
Yeah, there's actual news today, and I think we owe it to people. It's part of what we do here. What's the economic news today on this very Friday?
Well, today we had job numbers released.
Yeah.
And they're job numbers for December, and this rounds out all of 2025. So they're doubly important. Only 50,000 new jobs were created in December. The normal number of jobs created in the U.S. economy per month is 160,000 or more. In a typical year, we get 2 million to 2.5 million new jobs. We need it. That's the number of people graduating from college and coming out of high school, in excess of the number of people, forgive me, who pass away or retire.
Right.
The economy needs 2 million new jobs to absorb the new people. This year, total, we've had a quarter of that. We now know 500,000 jobs created total in the whole U.S. economy in 2025. It's the worst year since before the year 2000, if you leave out the pandemic year of 2020 when we lost 9 million jobs. But it's the worst year in 25 years. So here's what's interesting. We're having a strong economy that isn't creating new jobs. They're calling it a jobless boom. And so that's a little weird. That's why people feel uncertain, because they hear from their friends who lose their jobs or go looking for a new job that you can't get a new job. You got to stay where you are. Plus, we've got a little bit of inflation. What's more, healthcare jobs grew 400,000. Most of the new jobs were in healthcare. Healthcare is a great, sophisticated arena, but you don't want your economy to be devoted to taking care of the health of people. You want manufacturing. You want technology. Manufacturing jobs in 2025 shrank. Technology jobs in 2025, technology jobs in the year of AI shrank. Warehousing jobs shrank in the year of tariffs. Transportation jobs shrank. You know what's going to continue to shrink as we get self-driving vehicles? Transportation jobs.
Right.
So the real pressure is coming on 16 to 24-year-olds. The number of 16 to 24-year-olds finding work in December of this year is down from a year ago. And again, when young people can't find a place in the economy, that should make everybody nervous, and it's why
I have here on my list here productivity numbers, and also, well, there was some thought that we were going to hear about the tariff case from the Supreme Court today. That is obviously not happening. Any updates on either of those two topics?
Well, the productivity growth is great news, and it's related to the job growth. productivity is quite simply how much work you get from spending $1 or $100. How much work does your boss, does your company, does your organization get out of you at FedEx, at the Williams-Sonoma warehouse, at Google Software? And productivity growth in the third quarter, that's the quarter ended in at the end of September, grew 4.9%. They called it a surge. The numbers were released yesterday. That means that for the same amount of money in those 3 months, you got 5% more work. In fact, output was up 5% and hours worked were up 0.5%. So that's exactly what you want. That's how we get more money for wages. That's how the economy creates new wealth and new opportunities, is when spending $100 gets you 5% more work than it did last year. But guess what? If the same number of people can do more work, you don't need to create new jobs. So there's a little downside. What you hope is that it will ultimately create positivity.
Tariffs, real quick, because then I have another question for you.
No tariff decision. Watch for the tariff decision. It's going to be a huge amount of hubbub when the Supreme Court rules the tariffs unconstitutional in some way, shape, or form. And Trump's chief economic advisor, Kevin Hassett, was on CNBC this morning saying, we don't really care what the Supreme Court does. We have a whole bunch of orders ready to reimpose the tariffs with different little strategies and workarounds.
Okay.
So I think there's going to be a lot of hubbub, but I think we're going to live where we are with
it. One of the things that you and I have talked about and that I'll miss from radio is that you and I have been writers our whole lives, basically, and that is a very different enterprise, and the reaction with the reader is very different. You finish it, you polish it up, you send it out, they read it, they consume it, whatever else. Here, it's a conversation in a way that it's hard to describe the difference between what we've done mostly for our lives, for our chief living, and this. I'll say I think it's part of the charm of it. Like, I think that people get to know you and have gotten to know me in a way that they wouldn't by just reading our
people in Memphis have certainly gotten to know me in a way they never would.
One of the things also, I also want to say about this is that I do think, like, occasionally you'll get someone who pops on Twitter and says you're a biased liberal, whatever else, right? But I really do pride ourselves in a world when media is so unbelievably siloed, and you worry about that. I think part of the one of the real problems in a country is where people are getting their information from. I do take some pride in the fact that I think we are even-handed, and I think even people who don't necessarily agree with us have to acknowledge the fundamental fairness. And, you know, I don't know. Like, do you have any thoughts on this? Because I worry about how we consume media and going forward as a society, honestly.
I mean, look, I grew up in Miami and I worked as a copy boy, which was the lowest level drudge at the Miami Herald a bunch of summers. I was the delivery complaint operator to start there. And when I graduated from high school in 1979 and then came back for two summers in 1980 and 1981, the Miami Herald had 500,000 newspapers on Sunday out in the community, in a community of 2 million people. A quarter of the homes, a quarter of the people, every home got the Sunday Miami Herald. When I was in charge of half the newsroom in Raleigh, North Carolina, the Raleigh metro area, Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill, had 1 million people, and on Sunday we sold 300,000 newspapers.
Right.
No one's like that at all anymore. And even if you didn't like the Raleigh newspaper, even if the Miami Herald sometimes infuriated you, we had a common basis. And one of the things I liked about this is a lot of the comments about your show, and then the subset of, you know, the few dozen comments about me being on the show say, I didn't agree with you politically, but I listened. Well, exactly. That's, you know, people don't know this, but I listened to Rush Limbaugh for 30 years when he was on the radio, and I could listen to him either in my car or at my desk. I always listened to Rush Limbaugh because, you know what? Rush was smart and funny, and it tested my ability to think through what he thought versus what I thought. So that's, I think it's important to continue to consume real journalism. The Daily Memphian is a great example of real journalism, and so you should continue to try and consume real news. What else? What do we want? What do we want to talk? You know, I
that's
used to.
It. That's
I,
it.
I go far it. Enough back. Uh-huh. That's it. You're done with me. I used to fall asleep as a 9-year-old boy, listening to my aunt and my uncle gave me and my older brother little tiny Philco AM transistor radios, and they came with a white headphone cord that is exactly the same cord that used to work with your iPhone, and I would listen to baseball games and to news radio in South Florida and fall asleep and wake up and the radio would still be playing. Yeah.
No, and there's so, an intimacy so
I have,
to radio.
I have a great connection to radio.
We can't thank you enough for being on here. It's been a lot of fun. Who knows? It's possible. You and I have talked about doing a podcast down the road, so we may
so
well.
Pay attention to my Twitter. Pay attention to Jeff's Twitter. We will let you know. I think there's going to be a podcast.
I'm less certain.
I will be the tent pole. Will be, as I have
but
been
But if
the
you
show.
Miss this bickering, tune in again at some point in the distant future. Charles, we got to get out of here. Thanks, man. Appreciate
have
it.
Have a good week, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Charles Fishman, of course, trying to get the last word in. Jeffrey, it appears the moment has come. We're kind of wrapping up here. Can't thank you enough. Can't thank Bruce Ryan. Bruce Ryan was my old colleague from college.
The Crimson, right?
We worked for The Independent, which was the other newspaper. And he was a year behind me. And when John left, I don't know who they had in mind to replace him, but they had someone in mind. And Bruce, literally, I think it was on like Twitter, direct messaged me and said, well, there's this guy, Jeffrey Wright, who I knew from MUS when Bruce used to teach at MUS. And so that's what got us together, and it's been fabulous. And I can't thank you enough for everything you've done for this show. The truth of the matter is you have your own show, but here you have to come in here and put up with my the way I do this show. And so you wear two hats, and I'm thrilled that you're going to be able to do this with 1 3-hour show going forward, and I will be rooting for you and listening.
Thank you for listening to Bruce.
That
has been the thrill and the pleasure of my lifetime.
Enough of this. We got to get out of here. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. One last time with Jason and John, and then you'll start your day with Jay and Jay next week. Partha Padhyay, Anthony Sane will join their program today. DeMichael Cole will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Blake Topmeyer will join us during the second hour. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
I can't thank all of you for listening these many years. It really has been the privilege of a lifetime. So I'll still be writing for the Daily Memphian. I'm not going anywhere. Love this city and love its people. So I will be around. But that's it for this chapter. Our work here is done.